Welcome to today's edition of Time in the Vineyard with Pastor Teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast is being brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Macedonia, Ohio.
Acts 8, we'll begin reading in verse 26 for our text. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We find that the church is still in its embryonic stage, really, but it is beginning to flourish. But in order to get the full understanding of giving exposition here of Acts 8, really what we would need to do is throw a ribbon here and just kind of give the tone of the time of what is happening. If you would, just throw your ribbon there and turn a few pages back to John chapter 9. I'd like to just do this for introduction to show what kind of feeling it was when Philip is preaching and Stephen is murdered and these things take place. If you were to look back in John chapter 9, what we find is that the time and the city here is absolutely filled with chaos. People are talking all over about what has taken place. And we find that Jesus is the one who started this, of course, as he is the one who is in focus. But in John chapter 9, we just look briefly at a man who Jesus heals who is born blind. John 9:13 says, They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, Well, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Now notice in 16, Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. So there's a commotion that is now derived from healing this person who is born blind, because nobody has ever healed anyone who is born blind. It says, the Pharisees said. Then it says, others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And notice at this point it says, And there was a division among them. There's people who are saying this, and there's people who are saying this. Everybody's got something to say, because this is a miraculous, this is an astounding miracle, what just took place here. And so the Pharisees have to say, this man is not of God because he's not keeping the religious things. But then you have this other group of people who are saying, wait a minute, a sinner cannot do something like that. That was absolutely astounding. And so we find here that a division is beginning to derive from these things. If we were to turn over just a few pages, maybe one page, into John chapter 11, in verse 47, we have another similar situation. John 11, 47. Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man does many miracles. And if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." We must do something about this. So now it's growing, not only as just this group over here that are talking and this group over here is talking. Now we're assembling a council and we have to decide, you know, what side of the fence are we on. If we turn just another page over to John 12, 12:17. They're still talking of this thing. In fact, it's growing. John 12:17. "The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record." In other words, people are talking. They're bearing record. Everyone's beginning to talk about this guy. Every person at lunch has something to say about Jesus. Verse 18, "For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle." They heard because everyone is bearing record. Everyone is talking. Who is this person that could do such things? Is this the Christ? Is this the Messiah? Is this that prophet? Jesus even at one time says, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, well, some are saying John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Some are saying you're that prophet. Some say Elias. Some say this. Some say this. Some say this. Some say everything, but everybody is saying something. This is the talk. He is the miracle worker from Galilee. So notice in 19, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" Jesus is creating no small stir. The whole world is going after and talking after this guy. No one is talking of the temple or the priest or the high priest or Caiaphas. He's quieting an absolute commotion. And then if we were to find, just for sake of time, we know what happens after this. It gets worse. The pressure rises to the point then where we have this tumult almost in Jerusalem. The whole herd of people are standing there on Palm Sunday. People are shouting, "Thou Son of David, save now. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." It's just the king comes riding in on a mule, and it is just a frenzy of people. And it is such a frenzy that only a few days later, the same crowd is shouting, "Away with him, crucify him, give us Barabbas and not him." It's an absolute tumult. Jesus now at this point has caused almost a riot. Then it just gets worse, really, because when the pressure at the announcement that he's risen from the dead, now what? They are saying now that this same Jesus, whom we crucified, is risen from the dead. The town is going off the hook. Peter stands up in his boldness at the day of Pentecost, preaches one sermon, and 3,000 people get saved. 3,000 people that one very short sermon. And then he decides, "Well, I'm going to preach a second sermon." He preaches another one. 5,000 people get saved. And then we learned love 2 weeks ago, then even after that, many of the priests get saved. So all throughout the area, we have these people who are walking around who are brand new Christians who believe that this Jesus has risen from the dead. So much so that Stephen then has to produce a council, and he goes through these things. So then we come into our text. We have a man who is an Ethiopian. And you would seem, though, in Acts 8, that this person of interest, this Ethiopian, is a little bit late, don't you think? You traveled all the way from Ethiopia. You are an ambassador of the Queen, and you're about 65 days late. They've been waiting for the prophet for thousands of years. This guy gets wind of it, and he's like, okay, here I am. And they're like, well, you missed it by about 2 months, man. But everything's still in absolute chaos. I do that sometimes when I see, I see cars rolling around with Grateful Dead sticker on. And I have to stop, because there's this, well, anyway. So I stop, and I'm like, did you go to shows? And she goes, no. And I go, oh, I just saw the sticker. She's like, I'm 20. And I go, okay. You missed it. You missed the whole thing by about 20 years. You know, this guy missed it. He seemingly missed it. He missed it. But he didn't miss it. Because at this time now, because remember Jesus said, greater works shall you do than what I do. Not only is one miracle worker rolling around preaching this madness, we have 12 men rolling around preaching this madness. And these men are preaching with miracles too. Confirmed miracles, raising people from the dead, casting out devils, preaching this kingdom. All in one city, we have 12 little Christs running around preaching the good news. I mean, it's an absolute stir. The Bible says that these 12 men turned the world upside down. And so here he comes. Philip has a meeting, the deacon now. And I believe, and it was brought to my attention, and I'm grateful for it, because I had never seen it. And this is probably the blessing of just sharing between brothers and sisters. Is, you know, we learned last week that Philip was probably pretty discouraged after he had a false convert. Simon the sorcerer turns out to be nothing. And then the Lord is gracious to him, isn't he? Well, let me give you another one. Let me tell you exactly where to go to bear some fruit. It isn't where you think it's going to be. But the Lord shows it to him. Let me send you to one in particular guy. And he happens to be a key player too. So the angel of the Lord, which usually is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, but this is probably it's probably the Holy Spirit in some way. Or it could be just an angel, but spake directly to Philip, saying in verse 26 of Acts 8, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Yes, the desert. Go out into the desert. Yes, I know, but there's lots more people here in the city. And have you seen the uproar in the city? Yes, I know. But go down to the desert. Go where you think that you shouldn't go. And he arose and went. The deacon is obedient. And he beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, it says, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So he's a prominent dignitary, a key player, I would say, in politics of the region. He's either a secretary or a minister of treasury, because it says he had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And I must say, at this time, I'm sure that the deacon is awfully excited to have this person as a possible convert, because at least I would be. Oh, I would like to have a person who is a minister of treasury to come and join our church, because I'm sure his tithe would be genuine, or generous anyway. So maybe he don't care, but I do. He says that he has come. Look at it. It says he had come to worship. He travels all this way in a caravan, I'm sure. And he's coming to worship. So he has heard of Yahweh God. He has heard of the Jewish God. The sound of the true one and only living God is making its way around the world, even before. But the problem is he, even though he came to worship, he traveled all this way, he's returning. And he's returning lost. He drives all this way to church to worship. And he probably did worship, but not in spirit and in truth. It's just an outward thing. Because we know he's not converted yet. So how sad it would be to come and worship and then return with nothing. And I can tell you for sure, there's a few folks here, maybe even right now, that are thinking that you're worshiping and you're going to return lost, dead in your sins, just like this guy. Even with the apostles preaching, I mean, at least here you can say the sermons are terrible. But over there, I mean, these are apostolic men. I mean, these are preachers of the Word of God, confirmed by miracles, preaching hellfire and brimstone, turn and repent. And he's not swayed. He's not convinced. All the hype and the bluster and all that, it doesn't do him any good. But he's searching, though. And I have to say that I admire the fact that he doesn't be easily swayed. I would prefer that he would investigate it further. The Bible talks about the men of Berea were more noble than of Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. Because, to be honest, Philip already had a false convert. He doesn't need another one. So he buys a book. He actually purchases a scroll of Isaiah the prophet, which was very rare for anyone to do, let alone a Gentile. But I suppose, being of his rank, that they made exception and sold him a handwritten scroll of Isaiah the prophet. And so notice in 28, he's returning and sitting in his chariot and he is reading. He's not even waiting till he gets home. He wants to know what this book says. And if it would be so good for us if we would have the same drive to want to know what does this book say? We have a copy of it. We have multiple copies of it that are not read. He is not this way. He probably has heard at least a verse or two that says, if you seek me early, you will find me. And that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. So he's leaving lost. But he's searching. And he's returning and he's sitting in his chariot reading this new scroll. And because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, the Spirit says unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip, look, he runs to him with excitement at the opportunity to be able to share the gospel with this man. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read. He's reading out loud. In other words, he's not only keeping it to himself, he's reading probably to his whole entourage. Listen to the Word of God. And he reads the prophet. But Philip comes to him and he asks him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? He responds, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up. Do you see the humility in this? Now this is a prominent dignitary. And what he has basically just said right there is, I know I don't. I don't understand it. But would you teach me? And I can tell you that the church of God faileth. Because men are too proud to say, would you just teach me? If he were to come down, he comes down to 34 concerning Isaiah. He says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, this is his question. After he reads the prophet, he says, I pray you, I'm asking you, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he talking of himself? Or is he talking of somebody else? You know what he's saying there? He's saying, you know, I read some Bible here. I came to church, I didn't understand the whole thing. And I don't even know if I believe the whole thing. And so I bought a Bible, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I think, and I'm reading it. But let me tell you something. I don't understand a word that comes out of that book. I mean, it's got ye's and thee's and thou's and stuff. And I honestly, I have no idea. I don't understand a thing. That's pretty humble, isn't it? Well, maybe he needs a new translation. No, you don't. The natural man receives not the things from above. The truth is you can understand it. You do what actually has been done here, then you need some man to guide me. He said in verse 31, how can I, except some man should guide me? Brothers, you can't go it alone. You think you can go it alone, but you can't. The gospel's not designed that way. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by their faith. And the faith is shared from faith to faith, person to person. Jesus said, go ye therefore and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So right now, as we sit, you are either supposed to be making a disciple or being a disciple. If you don't know enough that you can be discipling someone, teaching someone, that means that you're in the camp of being a disciple. So right now, you are either a disciple learning from someone, or you are discipling someone, teaching someone, or you are in sin. You are not doing what God tells you to do. And if you don't think it is, turn to Matthew 28 and see for yourself. You should be either being discipled or making disciples. That's exactly what he is doing. He is doing the work of the Lord. How can anyone know unless we teach them? So he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him, sit with me for a while. So Philip, he does. He goes, okay, well, show me where you're reading. He doesn't say, well, you need to turn to John chapter 3 because that's the only place I know. You can't do that. You just got to answer the questions wherever they are. I mean, this guy's, you know what he's reading? He's reading the doctrine of the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ. Anybody use that on your gospel tracts to witness to the Lord? Oh, you want to get saved? Well, let me tell you about the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ, the blood sacrifice. Oh, okay. But that's what he does. And this is all spirit organized. So he says, well, okay, here's the place of the scripture. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. What he's saying is, okay, let's get down to the basics here. He's not actually using the word vicarious atonement. He's saying, well, that's called the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You see, the blood of God's Son cleanses us from all sin, death for death. We incur death because we sin. He took our sin, and therefore he died, as the lamb dies. And he's walking him through it. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Oh, what does that mean? Well, Jesus went willingly. Nobody takes my life from me, but I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up. Oh, you mean Jesus, this king, he just did it willingly? Yes. But why? Well, for you. He was dumb before his shearers. He opened not his mouth. He didn't say a word even to proclaim his. He was an innocent man. Matthew Henry says he was dumb before the shearer and he was dumb before the butcher as they laid the nails in his hands. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Humiliation. He was an innocent man, but he was absolutely humiliated at the time of his trial. He didn't even stick up for himself. He just took it. So, well, who shall declare his generation? Who then will tell the good news? Who will declare these things? If he dies, how will anyone know? Because his life is taken from the earth. So, verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Himself or somebody else? I don't really know what I'm talking about. I don't understand. I don't understand a thing. But it's all okay. It's okay if you don't understand everything. Men, you don't have to know the whole book. Women, you don't have to know the whole book. Not now. Because here what happens is a man of God is present, so it's all okay. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He's a preacher of the gospel. He's got the keys of the kingdom in his pocket. He is ready to go. He is ready to set us free by the proclamation of his word. So he preached unto him Jesus. And I think Philip at this time can see the wheels turning in his head. You know, you can see this guy's getting it. He doesn't get it at first, but now you can tell the Spirit is doing something here. He's not just dead in his sin anymore. I mean, I can see the light is coming on in his mind. I can tell he's getting what I'm dishing out. And so they're on their way. The chariot is moving. They're riding down the road, and they're probably doing like men do, don't they? You can see how men work it. You know, we don't look at each other when we talk. We just ride side by side, and we look forward, and every now and then we look over, and then we talk. And every now and then we look over and, you know, say something. Because men don't, I mean, women, yeah, you look at each other, but he's getting it. He's getting it. The power of the gospel. He doesn't say, well, let's we need lights and smoke and you know. No, what you need is just the gospel. So he gets it. He's starting to get it, and he's getting it more and more, to the point where in verse 36 it says, and they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water, which is a miracle, isn't it? We're in the desert. But God provides for us everything that we need. And it says, and as they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and it wasn't just a little puddle, it was a place to be baptized. And of course, they're Baptists, like we, so we baptize by immersion, not by sprinkling. And so he gets down into the water. And it says, and the eunuch said, see here is water. Okay, here we go. Here we have some water here miraculously. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's stopping me to be baptized? And I can tell you that throughout all the confusion that the guy goes through, I mean, all the chaos of the city, all the yelling, he's saying this, he's saying this, she's saying this, everybody's got something to say, I don't get it, I don't understand, I try to read it for myself, I still don't get it, I don't really know. I mean, it's just absolute chaos. But instead of walking away, he holds on to the man of God and says, tell me what this book says. And as he starts to get it, he says, okay, what hinders me to be baptized? And look, he knows that they that gladly receive his word were baptized. So he says, Philip says, okay, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And so in all this chaos and confusion and commotion, we find the truth is he's not too late. It's actually the perfect time. For now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. And his name has been written in a book. And we're not told his name. And it doesn't really matter what his name is to us, but to the Lord it does, because his name was written before the foundation of the world. On this day, at this hour, at this minute, I'm going to open your eyes. You're going to see. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
You've been listening to Time in the Vineyard with pastor-teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast was brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Macedonia, Ohio. For more information, you can call the church at 330-554-7606 or check us out on the web at libertyvalleychurch.org. That's libertyvalleychurch.org.